Today on Compassion Radio.
Christianity has always been a persecuted minority religion. And unfortunately for most of us in America, we've never seen that or experienced that because Christianity for at least most of our lifetimes has been a majority religion and economically and socially and politically very, very powerful. But that is not the case for the vast majority of Christians now and throughout history.
My impression about Christian understanding in the West of persecution is levels of discomfort.
Well, as Andrew used to say, Christians in America are not persecuted, they're intimidated.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio. Carl Muller is a great friend of Compassion Radio with a long history of missions work in Russia, as well as Campus Crusade for Christ and the International Bible Society. He's also worked with Brother Andrew. Today, Bram connects with Carl to discuss the persecuted Christian church around the world and how the opportunity for us, the body of Christ, to help bring relief from their suffering has never been greater. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part one of that conversation.
Carl Muller, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Bram, it's great to be with you again.
It is something that is a real reward for Sandy and I, sitting down with you, not just reminiscing about the things that God has done with your ministries over the years and the ways that you have worked with us in Compassion Radio for decades, but just looking forward to something that God has for us. You've been praying with us for an entire year and are now part of our board of directors. So I want to make sure that disclosure is there for our people. There's a reason why I asked you to become a board member for us. And it's not just because you have incredible experience that parallels along the lines of what Compassion Radio has been about. But you have, in fact, been involved with missions behind the Iron Curtain before the wall came down. You've been involved with the Campus Crusade, which is now CREW. You were the president of Open Doors for years, which was where we first met each other, and worked with us in a number of projects, getting Bibles in some of the hardest-to-reach countries. And then you spent a number of years with Biblica, which is the new name of the International Bible Society. I don't think there's a Christian in America that doesn't know the names of these organizations. So they may not know you as being the man behind massive growth in these organizations. You're part of us now, which right. Tells me I should be expecting great things.
Well, I trust God for great things. And being involved in the mission world, as you know, a lot of times I end up saying the phrase, well, what a small world. People who know people. Yeah. But then I always want to say back after that is, what a big God. Yeah. Because when you and I met, like you said, I was CEO of Open Doors with Brother Andrew. And when Norm Nelson met Brother Andrew, they went off and started ministering the gospel all over the world. And I'm just waiting for your invitation for me to go do that somewhere in the places that you're going all the time, because I can't wait to get that under my belt for Compassion Radio as well.
And being the spokesperson for Compassion Radio would be a natural thing for you, because you've spoken out so eloquently for decades on the issue of persecution, the issues of how difficult and how important it is to get the Bible, the Word of God, into hands of people who are ready to wield it like the weapon it is. Mm. Yeah. That's what's been so impressive to me about your work ethic for the kingdom. Yeah. Not just in helping build organizations and make them look strong on paper. You're not about paper tigers. You right. are about unleashing the real power of God yeah. in real people so that they know His presence and His power. Yeah. And this happened. So I got to ask you, Carl, when I said, would you come join us on Compassion Radio's board of directors, what was the first thought that went through your mind?
Wow. I was grateful. As I said, you know, I've known about the impact of Compassion Radio for quite some time. Had the opportunity early on with Norm to be on the program on a regular basis. I think he was one of the only radio hosts that I would talk with who truly got the persecuted church, if you know what I mean. He truly understood what our brothers and sisters in Christ face around the world. So many other people during that era, at least, were unaware of Christian persecution. They really thought evangelism could be done anywhere, freely, and why not?
Well, it can be. Not always effectively.
Not always effectively. And
that is what we think evangelism is.
Exactly.
But let me ask you about what that really means, because when you say we weren't aware of what the world church is really going through, define it again. Help our people who listen to this program, maybe for the first time today, would know what is really going on and still going on with the church around the world.
Well, that's almost a question that would take the rest of the program. And I think it's important for your listeners to know that Christianity throughout history, and certainly around the globe today, has always been a persecuted minority religion. And unfortunately, for most of us in America, we've never seen that or experienced that, because Christianity, for at least most of our lifetimes, has been a majority religion, and economically and socially and politically very, very powerful. But that is not the case for the vast majority of Christians now and throughout history.
My impression about Christian understanding in the West of persecution is levels of discomfort.
Well, as Andrew used to say, Christians in America are not persecuted, they're intimidated. Mm. And we would be remiss to not call out that there are challenges to our current status of religious liberties in this country. There are people in this country, no doubt, who want to remove the rights of Christians from the public square. And I understand that. But there's a very, very big difference between those social trends in the United States and what happens to Christians, let's say, in Iran or in North Korea, for simply practicing their belief or trying to.
Americans, when they think about being persecuted at this point, I would say pretty much comes down to, if I'm going to be intimidated, I don't want to be a pansy, I don't want to be a lightweight. But the alternative is not to be aggressive and be insulting. And yet we think like we're entitled to speak our minds in any frame of reference whatsoever, right, in any tone we want to, right, because we have the right to speak freely. And I think we sometimes conflate our right to free speech in America with the right to live the gospel life.
Very well said.
So God gave us that mandate, and it is the Great Commission, but it was not in the context of defending our rights.
100% agree. I think one of the biggest tragedies is that in the West, and I'll say particularly in the United States, we fail to learn from our brothers and sisters around the world who have seen the gospel lived out in the midst of the most difficult circumstances.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of our chat with Carl Muller is coming up right after this.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says, go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. This year, we had the honor of celebrating our 78th year of continuous ministry. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Born by Jesus' blood. from the grave, seated now on high. Over all you reign, all power in your hands. Eternity will sing of your holy.
Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I think one of the biggest tragedies is that in the West, and I'll say particularly in the United States, we fail to learn from our brothers and sisters around the world who have seen the gospel lived out in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. So, for example, they're never going to go to the public square or to the court system and demand their rights be respected. They just don't approach the issues.
They don't sue for their privileges.
That's right. They don't go there. What they end up doing, and what we need to learn from, is they quietly and respectfully and diligently live out the gospel in the context of a hostile culture. Now, more and more Americans are going to have to understand that that's the approach that has allowed the church to literally flourish in places that are the most hostile to the message of the gospel politically.
They knew they were Christians by their love.
By their love. You know, I think we were talking earlier today. There's an ancient quote about the nature of the body of Christ that was seen in the first century AD. It was known by its generosity for the poor, for the outcast, for those that were disenfranchised. The church lived the gospel, and it was a witness to a hostile culture.
Even the Roman emperors took note enough to say, we need to do some investigative journalism here. And they sent their own agents to discover, what is it about this way
yes.
that makes them different than other cults? And what was the report they got back?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I can still find it here on my phone. But the report was truly inspirational when I read it. This is from Aristides in the first century. He said, "They love one another, and he who has gives to him who has not without boasting." That's a big problem for us too. "And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as a very brother. And if there is among them any that are poor and needy, and if they have no spare food, they fast for 2 or 3 days in order to supply the needy their lack of food. Such, O king, is their manner of life, and verily, this is a new people, and there is something divine in the midst of them." That's the witness of the gospel in a persecuted environment. Remember, this was the same Roman Empire that was putting these Christians to death.
Yeah.
So I think in America, we've got a lot to learn from our brothers and sisters.
In the Roman Empire.
from our brothers and sisters in history, yeah, and our brothers and sisters around the world in places where it is literally today just as lethal to be a Christian.
I was having a discussion even last Sunday about the importance of knowing the meaning and the future of prophecy, because we're quite luxurious in our pursuit of the knowledge of the future. It's one of our great pastimes in Christianity to understand what God intends to do in the future.
Mm.
We love that. It's a great pastime. Mm. We also seem to hang our hats on certain interpretations of Scripture of what will or might come in the future. Every time I've been with people in a persecuted church around the world, they say, "The future, what about now? We're living the persecution of the tribulations now."
Now.
Right. And they mean that because they actually have personal experience of what it's like to be persecuted, to be singled out, to be possibly the next martyr in line that will be reported in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
That's a living reality for them. They're not negating our interpretations of the future of prophecy,
right,
or our own eschatology in the West. But for them, it's not nearly as important at what God is choosing to let them endure now.
Right. And you know, it's also very true when we talk about the economics of the church around the world. The persecuted church, by definition, in most of these places, is economically the lowest rung on the ladder.
Because most of us have been stripped away.
Of course. Yeah. And maybe for many places of the world, they don't have legal protection to keep jobs. And so they become, you know, the kind of underclass, the slave class, if you will, in some of these countries like India, where Christians are routinely put into wage slavery, and have no other alternatives. They can't go to a legal system that protects them. In Egypt, Christians are, while numerous for a Middle East country, they're definitely a second-class citizen.
And they have a higher tax bracket, too.
And they have a higher tax bracket. They have restrictions that we would find absolutely untenable as American Christians. And yet, we complain and we raise our fists in the air and say, our rights should not be taken away. I think we should learn from the persecuted.
Yeah. I'm up here to sit down with you to shame the church in America.
No.
This is our home. This is our people.
Right.
So we are speaking to our own tribe.
Right.
At the same time, we're trying to bring an awareness to what others really do experience. And I also don't want to get into a comparison game. Like, we have no right to talk about the things that are challenging our faith here simply because they're not as onerous as other Christians are experiencing around the world. Yeah. This is not about comparing ourselves to what's there.
Right.
I want people to become aware of what God is doing in the midst of those who suffer in different ways than we do.
Amen. Well, a few years ago, David Haig and I, pastor from Santa Clarita, California, and I wrote a book called The Privilege of Persecution. Mm. In that book, we specifically said this is not about, oh, look at these people. They're the holy ones. We are less godly because we are not suffering that way. We said that that's not the thesis of the book at all.
In fact, Which is much of an erroneous statement as saying that we are blessed simply because we are Americans.
Totally. And people are just as wrong when they say that material and economic blessings are the sign of God's favor.
Yeah.
I've learned much more from the poor in the church than I've learned from the wealthy. And I've had the privilege of being around many, many wealthy Christians. But what it is, and here's the secret to it. Jesus said, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Mm. So the question is not, do I have to give up everything in America, my privileges, my legal protections, and all of the culture and everything, and go live in Saudi Arabia so I can be persecuted to live a godly life? No, it's a matter of how do I inject the gospel into every circumstance of my life here? How do I put myself into a position of bringing the gospel forward?
And how do I steward the blessings I have received?
And how do I steward those blessings and not consider those blessings? How does the Bible put it? That Christ didn't consider his privileges as things to be held on to,
yeah,
But he emptied themselves of those things. And I think we in this blessed country, and I am the biggest flag-waving American that you can possibly imagine, but how do we invest those blessings for the gospel and the kingdom? How do we live like those first century Christians in 21st century America? I mean, we don't have to sell our homes and give up everything and walk away from the opportunities to bless. Sometimes God has given us those things so we can be more of a blessing to other people.
I do think when Paul is talking about how Jesus emptied himself, he's not talking so much about a state of mind, but an actual practical emptying. That when Jesus came to be among us, that his emptying was to pour out his wealth.
Hmm.
Everything that he was rich in, he poured out.
That's right.
So that he wouldn't become poor, but so that we would become rich.
Right.
So he has enriched us with him. And if we talk about the indwelling Holy Spirit being a living reality for every follower, disciple of Christ, anyone who's walking with him, who's invited him into the inner sanctum of their soul, can claim right to the kingdom living within them.
Amen.
If we are serious about that, we really do take the indwelling of the Holy Spirit seriously. We are to say that the living Christ, all of his richness, all of his riches, are living right here.
Yeah, that's right.
So we don't go poor or naked or without covering when we go someplace. We go in the very name and presence of Jesus anywhere we go. And we have all this other stuff added onto us as well.
That's great. That's
so
really great.
I feel very safe and confident that I have been given a double blessing in that regard because of where I am and who I am as an American, but more as a kingdom citizen.
Yeah.
When I go overseas, I feel a little bit exposed because I don't carry with me all those rights that I cling on to so much. I really am at the disposal of God's purposes and his intent for me. And I have to realize this could be risky.
Oh, yeah.
I may not be coming back the way I wanted to. I may run the risk of being arrested for being honest with people. Who knows?
Yeah. It's always been inspirational for me to be in places where I'm meeting with brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm meeting with pastors and church leaders and evangelists who are taking far greater risks to be there than I ever would. What happens if the police raid us? I get sent home. They go to prison. Yeah. And I just am always encouraged and inspired by doing that. So for me, the lesson that I take back to America is bring the gospel forward in all of these contexts. You know, God can use us in any way. Let's pour out ourselves for our brothers and sisters.
The emptying of Jesus.
Exactly.
Because when he did empty himself, and when he resurrected, he took his glory back with him to heaven, but he left himself behind.
Yeah.
So I think about all those places you and I go that we have are so privileged to do this. When we get there, there is nothing we can leave behind of us other than a few gifts, maybe, of small things we can carry in. But we can give them our time.
Yep.
We can give them our blessing. And we can tell the truth as God reveals it to us about how he's living and alive in us. And to make a promise that we will carry their story back with us and make that as living to our friends as possible so that they can experience this story as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know you've had this, and I know Norm and I used to talk about this all the time. How do you create an experience of communication to people, whether it's on the church pulpit platform or if it's in a video or it's on the radio, of what you've been able to experience? And how do you bring people to that? It was the biggest burden in my heart when I would give a message, and God had broken me over some things that I saw in the persecuted church, some things that just made me cry out and say, God, why don't we pray like that? Why don't we pray like the Koreans pray?
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. We'll hear the second half of today's conversation next time. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio first with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.